Get ready. You're going to hear from me a lot today. You have to know what your research community expects. You have to know from conversations, from going to lab meetings, from reading the literature, particularly the methods section, what is expected for the variables, how the variables are measured, and in particular, what are the categories of the variables that are important. We want to make sure that when we're all done with this external validity thing, we've done three things. We've gotten three bases covered. We have represented our population. We have described that representation to our readers. And then the hardest one, that we obey the boundaries of extrapolation. You need to know what your research community expects in terms of the match between from whom we've collected data, how, where, and when, and what we say we've learned. With the caveat to remember that most of us in the behavioral sciences have for decades tried to get away with grabbing whoever we can and extrapolating to whoever we feel like. There's even a bit about that in the syllabus. That's how much we have wandered on that. All right, so it all starts with research hypotheses. Remember that we have an affection for empirically tested theoretical research hypotheses. What you're expected to learn how to do is to read the same literature that other people have been reading for years, decades, and in there find a hole. Find something, either an interpolation or extrapolation, that hasn't been thought of before, and make a guess what you're going to find from that literature. Then, go test it. So it all starts with hypotheses. When we're all done, we have tested those hypotheses, and we want our conclusion to be valid. Valid is just a fancy word for getting it right. Now here's something else that I'm going to say often. Our job is not p less than 0.05. We'll talk a lot about p less than 0.05 and alternatives and things like that when we get to the second unit. But we typically hypothesize an effect, so we're obviously looking for an effect. But keep in mind, your real job is not to find p less than 0.05. Here comes the harder one. Your job is not really to support your research hypotheses. Oh, wait a minute. Wasn't that the whole thing? Yes. But your real job is to get it right. That means you've got to get a couple of things right. You've got to read the literature properly and generate a good research hypothesis and then support it. Good Lord, it keeps stacking deeper and deeper here, doesn't it? Yeah, welcome. All right, so four kinds of validity. The real tough thing about the pink things is that they're all this long. How the hell can I isolate a kind of validity in 40 words or less? It's a pain in the butt. Here's the good news. If you can rip it out of that, let's say, stimulus-poor environment, you're going to do a lot better reading whole articles, listening to presentations, talking with people. Especially when you can say, wait a minute, you what? Why? Because as you understand what they're trying to represent, you understand what kind of representation they're trying to get right. So I know some of them are boogery. Some of them I wrote to be boogery. I will tell you, though, that the worst ones in there were copied word from word, typically from published things. So, measurement validity. We are quantitative empiricists. We get numbers. If those numbers don't represent what we're trying to represent, we're screwed. That's why for many people, measurement validity is the first consideration when they look at a research article. Do I like the way this was measured or manipulated? And if I don't, I may be done with that article. It may go on the B pile. External validity. I like the informal characterization. What have we learned, and how far can we push it? Specifically, who, what, where, when, how have we studied? What does that tell us, and how far can we push it? And the how far can we push it is strongly tied to the precepts of your research community. There it is again. Internal validity. Internal validity in most treatments is, are the results causally interpretable? A fine place to start, but remember, and we'll do more with on Wednesday and Friday, I want you thinking about internal validity always. Attributive hypotheses, measurement questions, associative hypotheses, causal hypotheses. I always want you worrying about how much is going on in the study that isn't going on in the analysis. That's the hook. What's in the study, representing the world, that's not in the analysis. Because confounds change results. Confounds change Kronbach alphas and predictive validity coefficients. Confounds change confirmatory and exploratory data factor analyses. Confounds change associations between variables. And confounds absolutely get in the way of causal interpretability. So, two things we're already talking about is an extended meaning of sampling and an extended concern about the quality, the cleanliness, the focus of the variables that we're operating with. And then statistical conclusion validity, when it's all done and we have a conclusion, did we get it right? When we consider the flow of the study, because we care about the flow of the study for two different reasons. When we're designing a study, we have to know what that flow is and when to worry about what kinds of validity. When we're reading about an acquisition of knowledge, a test of a hypothesis, the results of a study, when we're reading about it or listening to it, we've got to know where in the flow we worry about what. This is the color-changing card trick in real life. This is knowing what the card, what the changes are going to be, and looking for them. So when you're designing the research, you're going to make a whole bunch of choices, and when you're reading the method section, you're reading about all the choices that somebody made, and every one of those choices has an impact on one, the other, or both of internal and external validity. Obviously, when we're collecting data, it's all about measurement validity, except that, as we'll talk, as I'm collecting the data, I can reach back and goof up both internal and external validity. We'll talk about that. There's a lot of language. And when it's all said and done, did we get it right? Now, this is my favorite slide because this slide emphasizes our dependence on much. If our real job is not P less than 0.05, support for the research hypothesis, but to get it right, then there's a whole passel of things we have to get right so we can get the conclusions right. Serious statisticians focus on how statistics behave themselves. And how statistics behave themselves is of particular interest for inferential statistics, where we know we're working from a sample and trying to draw conclusions about a population. And in that bailiwick, chance is a big freaking deal. You don't have to have real data to worry about chance. You're flipping a coin. Is every coin going to land five heads and five tails? No. That's natural sampling variability. Technical expression, shit happens. But that's part of what we run into. But in addition to chance, statistical conclusion validity to researchers, practitioners, and applied people, to us, to hypothesis testers, and readers of other people's hypothesis tests, external validity, measurement validity, and internal validity are part of what we're dependent on to have statistical conclusion validity. Keep it simple. If I've got the wrong sample for my population, might I get the wrong answer? If I've got confounds that change results, might I get the wrong answer? And if I'm doing a crap job of measuring or manipulating things, might I get the wrong answer? And, bummer Bob, we can do everything right and by chance alone end up with a non-representative and or measurement problem we didn't know about and or confounded study. And this is why we're going to spend so much time talking about replication, convergence. That's why we will end our time together this semester with meta-analysis. Meta-analysis is the really active way of saying not all studies are the same, and not all studies, whether they're the same or different, generate the same results. That's why we do meta-analysis so early in the sequence. It's getting harder and harder to read much without tripping over a meta-analysis, and meta-analyses are increasingly commonly requested as part of a proposal. Because sample requirement, sample size power analyses are more and more often requested. And if you're going to do a power analysis, the one thing you need is a good estimate of the effect size you're looking for. Where's that going to come from? Probably not. So this is why we do some of the weird stuff we do in here.